I saw people eating breakfast at restaurants and folks going to grocery stores and buying groceries. And I liked it. Everything's got a little glisten on it this morning. That's real pretty from where I'm from. We don't get that kind of a dusting. We get a different kind of a dusting down south where I'm from. If you got your Bibles, open to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 this morning. I appreciate the privilege to be here and preach this morning, but I do miss our pastor when he's not here. And we want to be sure and remember him when we pray, and Brother Martis and Sister Paula when we pray. I hadn't got the latest on how they're doing, but I spoke with Brother Martis a little bit yesterday, and he's doing a little better anyway. And he's not grumpy, so I don't know what that means. Normally when I'm ill, I get grumpy. But he's not grumpy, so I don't know what that means for Brother Martis. But I'm glad to be in the house of God this morning. I'm glad to be out of bed. I'm glad to be able to breathe. I mean, God's really been good to us. If you're vertical very long in a day, God's been good to you this time of year. And I'm just laid around and got sick, and you know, you get to think a lot. And while I was laying there thinking, I was thinking I'd sure like to get out of bed. I'd sure like to breathe. I'd sure like to do all of those kinds of things. But when you're ill, you can't do that. So I got to thinking, and I thought about the Apostle Paul, and so that's why I picked 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. Verse number 8 says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." And sometimes the world gets that way for folks. They just can't see another day coming down the pike, and it looks like we're right at the end of everything. And I don't know how many folks have really been in that situation, but it's just life. When my dad was passing away, I was sitting there next to him and waiting for him to breathe his last breath, and he couldn't communicate with me, and I communicated with him, but he didn't respond. And I got to thinking about things that he had taught me over my lifetime, and bad stuff happens to bad people. Bad stuff happens to good people. And good stuff happens to bad people, and good stuff happens to good people. Life just happens, doesn't it? No matter what we do, we're going to have good days and bad days and all of those kinds of things. And when I start reading Paul, he wanted folks to know that he was just like us. He got to the place where despaired even of his life. It looked like he wasn't going to get to make that next city. It looked like he might not make the next town. It looked like things were coming to an end for him at times. But it's just life. And I thought, what is life? And how is it that we are provided it? And what should we be doing with it? There's a whole lot of questions that folks need to think about in their daily walk about their life. You know, I can remember when Mary Ellen and I were just kids. We got married when we were babies. I think I was maybe 20, 21, and she was 18 or 19, somewhere like that. We didn't know the sun was even shining. We were in that other world that young people get in, you know, and we don't know anything about responsibilities or anything like that. And we didn't have a care in the world. And all of a sudden, stuff, life, started happening to us. And all of a sudden, everything got real serious. And I got electrocuted one day. It didn't kill me, obviously, but it really knocked my socks off. And she got really scared, but it was just life. And while I was laying there on the job, you know, the other guys, they went right on with their work of the day, and I'm laying there thinking, boy, God's been good to me. He spared me today. I should have died. Right here, I should have died. But God spared me. He's been good to me. I remember one time we were driving down the road, Mary Ellen and I. We hadn't got married yet. We were really in that la-la land during those days. And I was a pretty cool guy, you know. I had Mickey Thompson tires and Krager mags and air shocks. And we were all jacked up and ready to go have a good afternoon and evening. And I ran off the road and the car went jumping up in the air and crossed the road and up the hill and rolled down again. And I really should have died that day because I woke up in the back seat on the floorboard and Mary Ellen was still sitting there holding a chocolate pie pan. No pie in it anymore, but she had the pan. But it was just life. Good stuff happens. Bad stuff happens. It's just life. But we were going through our life without any care about what our lives meant, what the value of life was for us. And I'm thinking today for our church and for me personally, I know I'm getting to the winter time of my life. Our church this morning is down in number here, but it's alive on live stream, I'm sure. I know my wife is watching, and I know preacher's watching, and others are watching, and there's some folks watching other places. And today is just another day of life. Of our lives. And what are we going to do with our life today? Well, the general sense is that whether it's an animal or whether it's a plant or whether it's a man, it's when our organs cease to be revived. When you can't get any animation out of the body, when you can't get any animation out of the organs, then they say that life has stopped. I think the last thing maybe is when the brain finally quits doing whatever it does. Them little synapses and stuff. Maybe that's when life stops. Or maybe it's when the spirit and the soul depart. Maybe that's when life stops. I know that if you look outside, the trees look like they're dead right now, but they're not. They're much alive. They're just taking a day off. And bears go hibernate somewhere over in Carolina and East Tennessee now. They're not dead. They're just sleeping. And that's just part of life. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That's where life come from. We didn't gin it up. Man didn't have anything to do with it. God formed man out of the dust, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Now, woman's a little different. There's a little bit there that we don't know about other than Adam went to sleep and God took a rib and somehow he made a woman out of a rib. But it never says that God breathed the breath of life into her nostrils. But they are alive. Just go home and leave your socks on the floor and you'll find out that your wife is alive. I don't know how they got that breath, but they are alive. Genesis 6:17 says, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." God gave the breath of life. God can take the breath of life. Whether we've surrendered our life to Him or not, He still controls life. David said, "I'm just a step between me and death." The Bible says our life is just a vapor. So what do we do with our lives? We got some young folks here today. They're just getting started. They don't have a care in the world. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't even think about the next meal. I get up thinking about the next meal. Sometimes before I get up, I'm thinking about the next meal. Right now, I'm having to do the cooking. Mary Ellen's not doing the cooking. So I'm trying to be gracious, and I'll say, what would you like to eat for breakfast this morning, dear? And she'll say, well, I don't know. And I'll say, well, would you like a pot of grits? She loves grits, by the way. She could exist on grits. Pullen folk, they thrive on grits. And I love grits, but I don't want grits every meal. Mary Ellen could eat them every meal. And then I'll say, would you prefer to have bacon and eggs and toast or biscuits? We got some Walt biscuits at the house and even some frozen biscuits at the house. I do not make biscuits. But it's just life, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever it is. It's just that thing of life. But we get to determine how we're going to live it. Every moment of the day, we get to determine that. God doesn't strong-arm any of us and say, you will live this way. No, no. God gives us the option. If I don't want to pop right out of bed in the morning, I don't have to. Lately, I've been wanting to stay in the bed. But I know I need to get busy. I've got things to do. So, there are times that we bring about things in our life that we didn't foresee. We make a choice over here somewhere, and we think that choice is not going to have very much of an impact on our life. But somewhere over here, after we've journeyed a ways, we find out it has a great impact on our life. The children of Israel were happy living in the promised land until they made some bad choices and wound up down in Egypt. And even that wasn't so bad until those taskmasters in the book of Exodus began to make their life not so comfortable. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 14, it says there, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. You could have a little simple choice over here and wind up over there with a bitter life because you made a wrong choice over there. You made a wrong decision. Not a big choice, just a little choice. Like that day that I blew the air shocks up as tight as they would go on my 1970 Gold Nova with Mickey Thompson's and Krager Mags, a car that I washed every day. I rinsed it off in the morning before I went to work, and I washed it in the afternoon when I got home. Every day. Polished it every weekend. Those were good choices. The bad choice was putting all that air in them air shocks so it didn't have a shock. Just a little choice. I had no idea what it was going to cause. I just rode about 10 miles down the road, wound up in the hospital because of it, with a totally demolished 1970 Nova. A little choice made a big difference down the road. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every time I make a bad decision, I pay for it down the road. Every time. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago now, just about 2 years ago, a dear friend of mine passed away, and so I was driving to the funeral. I got up early in the morning, had plenty of time to get there, but the closer I got, the faster I went. Bad decision. Pulled off the interstate where I was running probably in excess of the speed limit. And when I came off of the exit ramp onto the two-lane little country road that I love to take through the backwoods because there's no traffic and no obstructions, I went about a mile, and all of a sudden I had to pull over to the side of the road and got an award for my exemplary speed and failure to stop and failure to use a signal and all of those other things that I did, not thinking about life, just thinking about getting where I wanted to go. All about me, just thinking about me and not thinking about everybody else on the road and all the other parts of life that are going on around me all the time. It's just life. The way of transgressors is hard. If it says stop and you don't stop, then you're a transgressor. If it says 30 miles an hour and you're going 35 miles an hour, I'm a transgressor. I noticed since I've been in Tennessee, hardly anybody uses a turn signal. They could leave those off of the cars in Tennessee and it wouldn't make any difference at all here. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That decision to sin, we would call it a mistake. We would call it anything but what it is. We certainly wouldn't call it evil. But it's lawbreaking. It's transgressor. It is all of those things that we don't like to call it. It is that. And the Bible says that that brings about death. James 1:15 said, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death." We can have, by our choices, a bitter life if we want that. We can make that choice. I'm going to tell you what. When I stand before God, I will have regrets. Nobody likes to admit that. We'd all like to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. And I've got regrets. I wish I could train my children. When they were young, I tried to train them, Brother Billy, so that they wouldn't have as many regrets. When they were doing things that I knew that they shouldn't do, I'd get all flustered about it, and I would talk to my dad, and he would say, "Well, are they doing anything any worse than you did?" Well, no, they weren't, but it still wasn't right. And I didn't want their path to get started where they were only thinking about them and not thinking about everything else that's going on in their life, because life happens. And if we're not careful with our lives get derailed, and then God only knows what will happen. I pastored a young lady. When I went to the church, she was only maybe 15, 16, and I know that she didn't know that the world was actually turning in a circle. She probably still thought that the world was still flat. I don't know. But she used to talk about getting married and having children and raising a family and all the wonderful things that I guess young ladies are supposed to think about. I don't know what they're supposed to think about. I know what young men are supposed to think about. But she started making some bad choices. She started dating a guy that I recognized, but I couldn't remember where I recognized him from. And I thought and thought and thought and prayed, and I finally remembered where I recognized him from. So I called the chaplain out at the prison and asked him about the guy. And we were talking about this individual as much as the chaplain could say legally over the phone to me about this individual. And one of the other inmates in the chapel, who was an orderly or something in the chapel, overheard the conversation and told this young man that somebody was questioning the chaplain about him. Well, naturally, he told her, and then she came to me, and I told her, "Do not ask me to do your wedding, because I will not do it." Bad choice. I tried to warn her. I told her the differences between the two of them, or at least what I thought was the differences between the two of them. Now, I'm not so sure. She backed me up in a corner and made me say no. Now, she's never been married to anyone other than that fella, divorced him, and has lived with four other men since then, is living with a man now. Her relationship with her sisters is Her relationship with her own mother is zilch. She has a bitter life. From the first man to the last man, she carries the male, not the male. Bitter life. Her choice. Not my choice for her, not her mom and dad's choice for her, but she made those choices. And so she has a bitter life. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 23. I'm done with bitter now. Okay? I've had enough of bitter. Believe me. I'm happy it's snowing. If it ices, I'm going to be happy if it ices. Glory to God. Whatever God brings, I'm just going to be happy about it. I don't want bitter. I want to choose right. 2 Samuel 1:23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Now that's what David is saying about Saul and Jonathan after they're deceased. Well, you know, most people say nice things about folks after they're dead. They may not say those same things when they were alive, though. But you think about it for a minute. There's a difference between David and Saul. David and Saul, they're peers. What David had, Saul didn't have. Jonathan's peer would have been David's brothers, for instance. David's brothers didn't have what Jonathan had. Jonathan, David, they had something unique that those others did not have. And there's that term, pleasant in their lives. That's a choice that you would make to be pleasant in your life. I thought about pleasant people in the Bible. If you had to think about someone in the whole Bible from beginning to end that was pleasant, who would you pick? Well, Jonathan certainly was pleasant. But what about Ruth? What a pleasant young lady she was. Oh, Moabitess woman. But she was pleasant. She was pleasant to her mother-in-law. She was so pleasant. Choices she made. She wasn't like her peer. And I believe her sister's name, which is out there in the fog of my mind somewhere, I believe her name was Orpha. Not Orca, but Orpha. But Orpha's choice didn't bring about pleasantness. But Ruth's choice to stick with Naomi was pleasant. When they traveled back to Israel and they went back to that place of Naomi's nativity, when they got back to that place, you remember Naomi said, "Listen, ladies, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara because God has dealt with me bitterly." But not so with Ruth. Man, did God ever bless her. I mean, she was so pleasant in the fields, gleaning in the corners and everything, that Boaz came along and said, "Hey, who is that over there?" And God began to make her life more pleasant and more pleasant and more pleasant. I'm just thinking this morning that we get to make these choices. Our lives ought to be like those folks that have what those other folks have not. In Ruth 1:20, it says, "And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me, very bitterly with me." James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So we get the choice. We choose whether we're going to sin or whether we're not going to sin. Now, we always are going to say, "Well, the devil made me do it." But the truth of the matter is that we make the choice on a whole lot of things that go on in our life. We choose. Some folks are fast to choose. Other folks are slow to choose. My wife and I, Mary Ellen, were talking on the phone to someone yesterday. I don't remember who it was off the top of my head. But the lady was talking and asking questions. And And I was, oh, I know who it was we were talking to. We were talking to somebody about at the doctor's office about Mary Ellen. And Mary Ellen didn't really want to talk to him because her head's throbbing. But she was sitting there listening to me talk. The lady asked me a question, and I have to think a bit before I'm going to answer. Because sometimes I might say the second word before the first word, and I got to get it all organized in my mind before I can spit it out. And before I could spit it out, Mary Ellen's already talking. She answers sometimes quicker than I do. I'm a little slow. But then I'm from a different part of the country than she is. I'm from Memphis and she's from Orlando. Big difference. So we get to make up what's going to happen in our lives. The devil hates us. I know that. The devil would do anything to destroy us. Nothing better for the devil to do. If he can't get you, he'll get your kids. If I could go back, which none of us can, but if I could go back, would I do anything different raising my children? You better know I would. You listen, if I could go back, I would say to my children, you can't go over to that church member's house. I would. They didn't have the right standard. They let things go on that I wouldn't let go things go on. It's pretty hard to put the cows back in the gate once they get out. It's difficult to do that. I would have changed some things. I know the devil hates us, and I know that he'll do what he can to destroy us. John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's why you can't believe anything that the world says. Mary Ellen gets on the news and she'll read the news to me. She'll read the weather to me, and I'll get on my Hunt app and I'll read the weather over there, and it says something different than this one over here. Weathermen all go to the same school, don't they? I mean, they all study the same stars, the same sun, same moon, same clouds, same atmosphere, but yet they come up with different forecasts. So who do you believe? Well, I tell you what you got to do. You just got to live. There's things that we have to do. We have to go to work. We have to earn a living. We have to feed our families. We have to go to school. That's a bummer. But we got to go to school, so you got to get up. I remember the first time I rode a bus, a school bus, one of them big, long, yellow buses. That was a horrific day. I was in shock. I sat in the seat and looked out the window. And the sun was shining that morning, and I watched the sun. It was like a big, it wasn't the color of the sun. It was like a big, dark ball just bouncing around in the sky. It was terrible. I couldn't wait to get home. But it wasn't too long after a while that school got to be just another day of life and it was okay again. The devil hates us. He always lies to us. Always. Never tells us the truth. Jesus had some things to say about our lives. What He expects of our lives. What He desires of our lives. Let me put it that way. What He desires for our lives. Every good gift cometh down from above. He wants us to have goodness. He wants us to have joy and peace and all of those things. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, Orpha had life, but Ruth had abundant life. See the difference? David's brothers had life, but David had abundant life. David's brothers had life, but Jonathan had an abundant life. All through the Bible, you see those two contrasts. People that just have life and people that have an abundant life. So there's got to be a recipe for having an abundant life. There's got to be a recipe for having that pleasant life. There's got to be a recipe for having the opposite of that bitter life. And it's important for us as individuals, important for us as a church, to make sure that we're sharing the recipe for an abundant life. Everywhere you go and you meet people, Brother Martis and I were out knocking on doors one day, and we knocked on this guy's door, and I don't even remember where it was in Jackson. I hope I never run across that place again. It was so... I hesitate to use the word, but it felt like we'd walked into a den of demons. And the guy said that he was a god. I thought, well, maybe he thinks Mormons are all gods. I don't know, but then he's not a Mormon. He's something else. I never heard of it before in my life. But it was just such an eerie feeling. But listen, all he's got is life. He'll never have anything more than life until he gets the recipe right. Mary Ellen's teaching me how to make cornbread. I love cornbread. I made it twice and got it different both times. We got this little skillet thing that's got them little triangle wedges in it. You ladies know the one I'm talking about. So Mary Ellen's telling me all the ingredients and how to put them in the bowl and mix them up and all the good stuff. And then she says, just grease that skillet, iron skillet thing up. Well, I don't know what y'all use, but I use bacon grease. Anything's better with bacon grease. So I lather that. I mean, I don't just put a little dab in it. I lather it up good with bacon grease. And then I put that recipe in there. Well, she didn't tell me that you don't fill them up all the way. She left that part off, and when it baked, it looked like I had a volcano coming up in that pot. But I made cornbread. That was the first time. Second time, it wasn't quite so bad, but still wasn't quite right. It's important to get the recipe right, and it's not just ingredients, but how you put them together. And then how you actuate them. So our life, we need to know the recipe, then we need to use the recipe, and then we need to actuate the recipe. So just three steps is all I got, and I'll be done. First, we need to commence right. We need to get started right. We need to commence right. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's everybody that has life, but doesn't have an abundant life. I needed to be saved. I was born in this world just like every other baby over in Memphis in 1951 at St. Joseph's Hospital, and all I had the day I was born was life. I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. I just had life. As an adolescent, I only grew worse. I didn't grow better. What happened to me along the way from infancy to adolescence was I learned how to lie better. When I got to be a teenager, I only increased in lying. I got to be a greater liar. I was a liar when I was born, then I was a better liar, and then I was a greater liar. When I got to be a young adult, well, then I was a terrific liar. Because I still only had life. But when I got saved, when I got born again, I got abundant life, and everything changed from that moment forward, and I no longer live in that world of just life. I live in the world of abundant life because Jesus came where I was seeking me, and I got born again. And it changed everything. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, doesn't matter who they are, where they are, or what they believe before they get the recipe, if they'll just take the recipe and use it, their life will change into abundant life. just like everybody else that's been saved. Now, once you commence right, and I realize I'm just kind of abbreviating things a little bit. Y'all don't think that I'm not going to cover all the bases, because I recognize that everybody has to realize that they're a sinner. I mean, if folks get saved when somebody knocks on the door and gives them the ABCs, that's a wonderful thing. But I don't think it happens that often that way. There's a few folks like that, but you know, you go to the beach at Daytona and talk to 250 people and they all get saved on Daytona Beach, that's something a little sketchy to me. Folks need to know they're a sinner and that they need a Savior. They need to come under conviction. They need to know something about repentance. But they need to get started right. They need to commence in the recipe right. Then once they get saved, like me and like you and like others that have been saved, they need to continue right. Continue right. 70 years old and still coming to Sunday school. Why? Because it's right. I'm not obligated. God didn't say, thou must go to Sunday school. That's not in the Bible. But He does say that as often as the church gathers together, we're supposed to be here. And Sunday school is part of the church, so I'm supposed to be here. I don't care if I'm 100 years old, I still need to be here. I mean, whatever's going on at the house of God, because I'm part of the church, I'm supposed to be here. I'm not fussing at folks that don't, but I want to continue right. I want to make right choices so I have that pleasant life, that abundant life. I don't want to have that bitter life. And saved folks can get bitter life. All they got to do is get mad at God, get mad at the church, get mad at the Bible, decide they're just going to sit down on the side, and that's not continuing right, and all of a sudden they got bitterness. And if they let bitterness get started, it becomes a well springing up in them. And I don't know, it's going to be forever and a day for them to get over bitterness. You got to continue right. John 8:12 says, excuse me. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Our choice. Do you want to walk with Him? If we just walk every day with Him. You know, when I was little, I can remember walking with my daddy to this day. I'd give my eye teeth to walk with him again. I don't think my daddy ever held my hand. He just wasn't that kind of a daddy. He took us to the woods. He taught us to hunt. He taught us to fish. He taught us all of those kinds of things. Well, he taught us how to spit. He taught us how to kick rocks. I mean, he taught us man stuff, not no sissy stuff. Taught me how to part my hair. I mean, my daddy taught me a lot of things. But when I was little, I could not walk in his footsteps. I tried to. He just had a longer leg than I had. And his foot, when he swung his leg out there, his foot fell further than mine would fall when I swung mine out there. So I'd have to take two steps to one, but I would make sure that I got my foot in his step before I went on to his next step. The Lord may not expect us all to walk at the same gate, but He expects us all to walk with Him. He expects us to walk in the light. We are now, by the way, children of light. And so we should walk in the light. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if I understand that thought about that cleansing. If I understand that right, when we've been shaking hands and we go back out to that little alcohol reservoir thing back there that we put on our hands to clean them, for the life of me, I can't think of what you call that right now. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. And we put that on our hands and we rub it around a little bit. Don't you feel like you're done with that germ or bioterrorist weapon that you've got on your hand? Once you do that, don't you feel like it's gone? He's faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness. So when I go to Him with my sin and I confess my sin, He cleanses me from it. And when I get up from there, I'm done with it. There's no sense me bringing it up again because He's done with it. I love that He put it back there and He purposed to forget it. Glory to God. Why would we bring it up again? Just done with it. Now, when I was a little boy, things were different. Remember, I only had life when I was a little boy. Alan would probably be like this. I suspect Alan is a real man. I'm telling you, he's a real boy. And I would suspect that when Alan gets his bath, he takes that bath and he gets in them bubbles and he scrubs and carries on. I bet his mama still checks behind his ears just to make sure he got all that dirt and grime. Because he's only got life. But when you get abundant life, you get cleansed from head to toe. All over. Every sin. There's not one sin that God cannot take care of for us. There's not one sin that Jesus didn't go to the cross of Calvary for. He paid all sin debt on the cross. Well, I said you need to commence right, and then you need to continue right, but you also need to conclude right. I'm getting down to the short end of the stick here. My grandchildren think that I am an antique for sure. And I egg that on a little bit. I say things that I know that they don't utilize in their vocabulary. And they look at me and, "Papa." But I do that on purpose so that they'll recognize that I am so old. And they could have great enjoyment out of that. But we need to finish right. I don't know if this year is going to be our finishing year or not. It could be. I mean, all across the globe, nations are frustrated with each other. It's all across the globe, everywhere. I'm reading about blizzards in the south. I'm reading about volcanoes that are erupting. We're reading about all kinds of strange weather and all kind of political corruption and stuff. I mean, the world is just it's a mess. This might be the year. I just read something, I think it was yesterday, that the number of infants having COVID has quadrupled in the last month. That's beyond my imagination. But I know that babies are born with AIDS. Babies are born drug addicts. Why would they not be born with COVID or some other plague? We're at the finish line, in my mind. I mean, it's just right out there in front of us. It's not very far at all, and we're going to hit the finish line. And we need to conclude right, properly. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." When I get that last step of the abundant life here, I want to step off of this shore and just step on the heaven shore without regrets that I didn't do everything to finish right. I want to finish right. I want to finish reading my Bible. Now, the devil don't want you to do that, by the way. I've got this program on my phone for reading the Bible through in a year. I'm about 3/4 of the month of January ahead of schedule. Now, that's not counting the other reading, but it's just for that reading. And got up the other morning. I went to bed on Thursday night. I think it was Thursday night. Got up on Friday morning, and my phone, when you push the button to, you know how you push the button and turn it on? It goes from a black screen to a blue screen, but nothing comes up on it. But if I go out there and get in my truck and the Bluetooth phone works fine, I can call you, I can receive a call. If I'm sitting next to my laptop, I can do a text message, but I can't do one on my phone. And I use that phone for my morning reading through the Bible. I think it's just the devil don't want me to do that, but I'm gonna fix him. I'm gonna buy me a new phone. That's what I'm gonna do. I know where the phone store is. I want to finish right. I want to finish walking with God. I want to finish reading my Bible. I want to finish soul winning. I want to finish prayer time. I want to finish Sunday school. I want to finish right. When I get down to the end of the day, when I'm concluded, I want my sons to be able to say that my daddy was faithful. When I get done, I want my grandkids to say, my daddy was faithful. My grandpa was faithful. I want my brother. He was watching the broadcast the other day. He might be watching this morning. Hey, Bill. He might be. If he is, I want him to... Listen, when I'm dead and gone, if he's still alive, I want him to know I finished right. I want to finish at the house of God. I was working at the funeral home one day, and I got a call from the funeral director. He said, "Where are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm out here on the west side of town at the funeral home out here." He said, "Can you be in Brooksville in the next 5 minutes?" I said, "Well, that's a little bit of a stretch for 5 minutes." He said, "Well, the preacher for the funeral we're fixing to have just fell over with a heart attack, and we don't have a preacher. Can you come do this service right quick for me?" I said, "Well, I'm walking out the door right now." And I drove to Brooksville. They took that preacher away in an ambulance. And I thought, man, what a good way to go. He was fixing to step in the pulpit. He was fixing to preach to a group of folks that were very attentive at a funeral service. They're attentive. They're listening to you. You got their attention, whether they want to give it to you or not, because they want to hear you say something good about Grandma. So I generally say, "Well, I didn't know Grandma, but I want to tell you what the Bible says." So when I got over there to those folks that didn't know me, they hadn't asked me to do anything, I met them, said, "Howdy do, and anything you want to tell me?" "Well, Grandma was this and that and the other thing." I said, "Good. I'm good if you're good and they're good." So we walked in, and I went to preaching. But I thought about that preacher that had just fallen with a heart attack. Wouldn't it be all right with you if you just got here for Sunday morning service, had your heart attack here, and got to leave this world right from the auditorium of Bethel Baptist Church? I mean, you've been coming here for 30 years, 40 years. I don't know how long y'all been coming here. I've only been coming here for 3, but I love it. And this would be a good place to send off from. I want to conclude right. This would be a good place to finish. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and departed and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." That'd be a pretty good way to go, too. Go up in a whirlwind. Somebody said, "Well, I don't want to go out in a tornado." Well, it said a whirlwind. It didn't say a tornado. A whirlwind to me is a nice, gentle little... just breeze around and see where you left from. And you go right on into heaven that same way. That'd be all right with me. I just want to finish right. I don't care about how I go. It's just when it's time to go, I want to conclude this thing right. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but it's so easy for you and me to make a choice over here that'll get us clean off the tracks over here. Just one little choice. Every day is a new day. The Bible says every morning we get new mercies, fresh. So every day we get new choices to make. So whether you're young or whether you're old, your choice today could change where you end up this afternoon if we're not careful to commence right every morning. Then we got to continue right all day long. I'm old enough now where I just really don't want to be in a fight. I don't want to be in an argument. I like peace and quiet. You know, nobody calls you on the phone anymore. If you got pills down at the pharmacy to pick up, they send you an email or a text. And the email is going to say that your prescription's ready. So I would expect, and you would expect when you drive down there, that your prescription would be ready. And when you get there, they act like they don't know anything about your prescription. And when you were there 2 days ago and you asked about it, they said, well, you can't have it now, you're a day early. And you go back and you ask about it again and they still don't have it ready. They got to go, I don't know, maybe they had to go bake the pills or something. I don't know what they did, but they had to go do it again. When I just had life, I'd have probably said some things that I would regret. But now that I got the abundant life, and I'm just trying to continue right all day long, thank you, ma'am. Appreciate you taking care of me. And under my breath, I'm thinking, why did you have to take so long? But thank you, ma'am, because I want to continue right. And when I lay my head down on my pillow tonight, I want to conclude my day right. The last thing I do at night when I go to bed is not say good night to Mary Ellen. The last thing I do is tell God good night. And I start rolling over in my mind our church. I did the same thing when I pastored in Florida. I even talk about those folks to God now. I want to conclude the day right. So I go down the pews. You know, most of us sit in the same place all the time. I may not know everybody's name, but I know your face. Sure, I'm glad we had a piano player this morning. Zach does better with a piano player. Go down through these rows and I think about everybody in the row, and then I get to a snag back there where Miss Paula sits if she's here, and I kind of talk to the Lord a little bit longer about her because she's right there at the door. Then I'll move on down the line and I'll get to Jennings. Boy, Jennings needs us to pray for him. How would you like to be stuck in a wheelchair every day of your life? He's got abundant life in a wheelchair. Miss Paula's got abundant life in a hospital bed. We've got that. So we need to be careful to conclude our days right. Would you stand with me? The Lord's been so good to us. We need to be so careful. There might be somebody here this morning that's not saved. I sure wish they'd get saved today. I want you to pray with me in just a minute that God will do those things that He wants to do this morning here with us. There might be somebody here this morning that you got off the track. You commenced right, but you're not continuing right. You might be right there concluding and you're not just right where you ought to be. Would you help us this morning and commence all over again and continue all over again and get it right? Pray with me. Father, we love You this morning. I'm thankful.